This is Doug Miller. Well, God is in his heaven. But if you think, along with Robert Browning, that all is right with the world, I've got news for you. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. And we are back with you again one more time. With the Word of God in hand, who knows how long we'll be able to do this, because the day is coming when the Lord will come back and bring His church home. The day and age of grace will end, and messages like this won't be going forth anymore. But there will be a message going forth, and it will be a message of lies and deceit right out of the pit. So while there is still day, and while grace is still obtaining, you had better come along, bring your Bibles, and listen to what the Word of God has to say, because you will be held accountable for that in the day that is coming if you deny and reject that. So bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the little book of Habakkuk back in the Old Testament. That's page 652 for those of you who have a Newberry Bible, and most of you don't, so it doesn't matter. But little book of Habakkuk, back toward the end of the Old Testament. It's only three chapters long. We got started in it a couple of weeks ago and got through the first chapter, so we're going to take it up now with chapter 2, verse 1. And you will, I assure you, find it very profitable. So bring your Bibles. Open up to Habakkuk. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this same time on this station by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. That's what we do. If you're waiting for an encore, that's all we do. And, of course, it's a great privilege, and I might add a great responsibility. We take it very seriously, and what a wonderful thing to be able to do, to open this book, to talk into this microphone, and to know that untold thousands are out there listening, and God's promise is true. His word will never return to him void. It will always accomplish that which he pleases. So listen in now. And incidentally, I always say this because it's true, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners in a faith ministry like this. So pray for us, tell others about us, listen to us, get the word out. We have no advertising budget, and we're not going to have one. It's not what the Lord's called us to do. We are strictly a word-of-mouth bunch, and that's fine. And the Lord wants to hear from you about Dialogue as well. We'd love to hear from you, answer any questions that you have, provide any assistance to you that we might. And that includes absolutely free of charge, no strings attached, recordings of these broadcasts. Our mailing address, Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. As we saw last time, Habakkuk begins this little letter of his by asking God questions. Questions that he doesn't understand and doesn't have the answers to. Questions about God's relationship with Israel and why God, being the holy God that he is tolerating evil in his people Israel. How long, God, before you move to put a stop to this? Now that is a perfectly legitimate question. And I think probably a lot of you out there have asked similar questions about the world in which you live, because you also live in a world that is full of evil and wickedness, full of people who not only don't believe in God, but aren't the least bit interested in anyone who does. They cannot wait to get God out of the way, and in fact are filing, many of them, legal briefs, even as I speak, to try to get God out of our schools and out of public life altogether. They don't seem to mind the name of Allah and the false prophet Muhammad, but they certainly are not going to tolerate any talk about Jesus, particularly Jesus as the Christ, who is the only way. Now, for those of you out there who are Christians, who are believers, who are grieved by this, you can certainly identify with Habakkuk, who said in verse 13 of chapter 1 of God, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously?" Why? What is going on? Well, in chapter 2, we begin to get an answer. And God does speak to Habakkuk, and he tells him the truth about what's going on. Now, let me tell you something. For those of you who are absolutely frustrated when you look at the world out there and see the evil in the world, God has not gone to sleep, and God has not gone anywhere. And he is very well aware of what's happening, and he will put a stop to it in his good time, and he will know what the good time is. He'll know this. But before he puts a stop to it, he will allow evil to come to full fruition. Now, you might ask yourself, why is he going to do that? Why? He is going to do it because he is a God of mercy and compassion. He is a God who is long-suffering, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he is a God who allows individuals to do what they are going to do. He has given us freedom of choice in a limited sense. It's not total freedom of choice, but certainly enough freedom of choice that we can do what we're going to do. He will not override. He will not say to the wicked person, you know, you can't be wicked at all. What he will say is, thus far and no farther. Now, we are living in a time that is where we're rapidly running out of time, to be perfectly blunt. We are living in a time where even a born fool, cut in two, has enough sense in either end to look out there and realize that people do not have answers, that there are not answers immediately. In fact, we're getting worse and worse and more confused and more confused, and the world is getting more dangerous and more dangerous and more full of hate and violence and viciousness. And to not see that is to be willfully blind. Now, let's pick up Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 1, and let's see. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved," or perhaps a better, when I am answered, when he talks to me. Now, I love this verse, and I love the way he opens this chapter, because he is asked a question, and with tremendous faith, he says, "All right, there's your question. Now, I am watching. I am setting a watch upon the watchtower, and I'm waiting to see what he will say." And it's unspoken here, but implicit is with the full confidence that he will say and he will answer. Now, let me tell you something. Those of you who are out there listening to me, God does not deny answers to willing seekers. If you have questions, God has answers for you. And he will answer, but you must come to him in honesty and in openness, and you must really want to have answers to your questions. Now, there's not a one of you who don't have questions. All of you. Some of you out there who are living in a great deal of pain, some of you who have suffered through tragedy, And your main question is why? Why this? Why has this happened? What are you doing, God? And for those of you, you look at the world out here, you see starving children, and you see people in sickness and misery. And the question that comes up immediately is, why would a loving, compassionate God who is good allow this kind of evil? You know, there are all sorts of questions out there. And once again, if you have questions, you can bring those to God and you can get answers. But I hope that the main question, if you are listening to me and you're not saved, I hope the main question you are asking is, how can I be saved? How can I be right with God? What would I have to do, if anything? What would please Him? How can I know that I will be in heaven throughout eternity? And how can I know that there is such a place? Now, these are all legitimate questions and very important questions. And in fact, I don't think you'll ever ask any more important questions than the one I've just posed there. How can I be right with God? There are answers for this. And I believe that God loves an honest seeker and one who will come in humility to Him and say, here's my question, God. Now, don't expect an audible voice from heaven. Don't expect God to answer you the way He answered Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet living in an age when God was dealing directly with men and speaking directly through prophets. And God is not speaking in just that way anymore. But how He is speaking is through His Word and through His Holy Spirit sent forth from the resurrected, glorified Christ. So you can, if you have questions, ask God, then set a watch and wait to see how He will answer you. And I would suggest you get into this book and start reading it and reading it prayerfully, and you can have answers. Now, in verse 2, we're not surprised to find the Lord answered me, says Habakkuk, and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. All right, let's just stop right there. Now, this is very rich stuff. This is so rich that you can just spend days talking about one verse of it. But look at this. The Lord answered, and He didn't just answer Habakkuk. He had people like you and me in mind as well, because the Lord knows very well what our questions are. He knows that you and I are not all that different from Habakkuk. And many of the questions that he had, we have. And the Lord knew what He was going to do, and He knew very well that some, 2,600 years after Habakkuk asked his questions, that a guy named Doug Miller was going to come along and say, I need some answers to questions, Lord. And that people just like you, just put your own name in here, were going to come along. And so the Lord says to Habakkuk, write it down, so that others can profit from learning what you're about to learn. Aren't you glad the Lord said this? And He said, make it plain. Now, friends, listen to me. For those of you who think that this book is a closed book that no one can understand, if it really is a closed book to you, you know why? Because you're not saved. You need to get saved. You're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's business is to take these things and open them up and make them plain to us. Or you might be saved but be sitting under very bad teaching, and that happens, and there's a lot of it out there, and there are even saved people who are in places where they shouldn't be and have very weak or ineffective teachers or even false teachers, and they're confused. But if you want to know truth, you can know truth. And the Lord will make it plain. To what end? That he may run that readeth it. Now here is a verse, or here's a part of a verse that has been frequently misquoted. And you may have heard this one before, quoted like this, that he who runs may read it. But that's not what this verse says. It's not talking about busy people who are on the run out there and nevertheless having time to read the Word of God, as a lot of preachers have misexegeted this. Oh, no. What this verse is saying is anyone who reads this, this will or should impel them to action. He who reads this, let him run. Let him get it in gear and get moving. Why? Because something, or rather someone, is coming. And the message here is, look at this, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, it ought to, because for those of you who have been listening to Dialogue for any time, you'll recall we just got out of the book of Hebrews not long ago, and it wasn't long ago that I was reading and teaching right over this radio station and right into this mic, the 10th chapter of Hebrews and verse 37, and I want you to just hold your place now, and I want you to go back to Hebrews and read this with me. It is well worth reading. Because in verse 38 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, our writer of Hebrews quotes from the second chapter of Habakkuk. In fact, this the second chapter of Habakkuk, verse 4, is quoted three times in the New Testament. Three times, twice by Paul and once by the writer of Hebrews. And look at how he leads into this. In verse 37 of chapter 10, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. All right. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now notice that the writer of Hebrews changes Habakkuk just a little bit. Habakkuk says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And that's all right that the writer of Hebrews is, under the inspiration of Almighty God. And if he changes the it to he, it does not change the meaning of this at all. Because the it is the kingdom. The it is the kingdom. And the kingdom is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an appointed time that we notice here. An appointed time. And that appointed time, it says, at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. And then in verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, let me tell you what's going on here, and I want you to listen very carefully, and I just, praise the Lord, hope I can do justice to this. There are many good, very effective Bible teachers, men whom I admire greatly and revere, and from whom I have learned a great deal, who have taught out of this second chapter of Habakkuk that what we have here is basically, in this whole chapter, a prophecy about Babylon, the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar, and, of course, about 100 years after Habakkuk wrote this, Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed Jerusalem, carried the Jews there away into captivity. And after 70 years, they started coming back, and God judged Babylon, and much of what was prophesied in this second chapter of Habakkuk, in fact, came to pass and has been fulfilled. But let me tell you this. Let me disagree with many of my mentors and teachers and individuals whom I admire so much and have profited so much from. Let me say that while what they have taught about this, that it is all about Nebuchadnezzar, is not necessarily wrong, it is limited. And I think a little bit superficial, and I'm surprised that many do not pick up on this. because the greater vision here is not about the Babylon of 500 BC, but about a coming Babylon that you can read about in the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon. And you can read about this great mystery in the 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation. And this mystery Babylon is going to be worldwide religion as it triumphs during the time of the last week of Daniel, the great period of tribulation that is going to come over all the earth, and I am persuaded is at the very doors. And this final manifestation of Babylon and what Babylon is going to be will be seen in those days and will temporarily triumph over all the earth. Now, why do I say this? Why do I say this? Well, I'm going to tell you why I say this. I think there are two key verses in chapter 2 of Habakkuk that open the whole thing up. And one is this fourth verse that I just quoted, "The just shall live by his faith." And the other verse is the 20th verse of the second chapter. "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Those two verses, in a way, frame this whole period, beginning with verse 4 and going on down to the end of the chapter, and put it into context. I would suggest, any of you out there, if you have the Scofield Bible, that you open up to Habakkuk and read what Dr. Scofield wrote in his note about this second chapter. I think you'll find it very interesting, and I think he is right on target. Now, look at Habakkuk again, and please, I hope that I can pay attention. I sound like I used to back when I was teaching at the university. Pay attention, children. Listen to me. And God help me to get this clear and plain. We are moving through time ages. Through time ages. And if you don't believe that, you go back and look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, and I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God," now verse 9, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time ages." Before time ages or eternal times, but time ages is actually the correct, that's the Greek, and if you're looking at it and you've got the King James and it says before the world began, but you have to understand what the Greek says, and it's important that you know what the Greek says. Before the time ages. Yes, before time began to roll. Yes, before God ever established time. Yes, back before then, he knew us in Christ Jesus. He had a purpose that he purposed. If you want to read about it, go back to Romans 8, begin with chapter 28 and read on down through verse 32. You'll see what his purpose was. And it was given to us, not because we were good, not because we were better, but to fulfill his purpose. And he purposed it before the time ages ever began to roll. Now that's a plural in Greek. And we learned something here. There are time ages out there. And, you know, we're not just living in a time that starts at point A and goes on through to point Z or B or whatever. It is not just that way. Well, we're going to have to stop it there. I have gone over. We're going to have to stop it, but we will take this up again next time. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue. exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast starfields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.